Hear the word of God, as it is written in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you, and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. This is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. This is the word of God.
Now, my brothers and sisters, just for a minute, it's important that we just remind each other what we have been looking at, because otherwise today will seem out of the ordinary. Over these many months, we've been going slowly, verse by verse, through Paul's letter to the Colossians. I hope you've enjoyed it, because we're coming to an end. It's an amazing letter. It covers so much and so relevant for today. And in chapter 1 and chapter 2, we had a look at all the great doctrines. We had a look at how you and I have got fullness in Christ. We don't need anything else. We've got Jesus. How we've got freedom in Christ. How we've got fellowship in Christ. All of those great truths the Apostle Paul has told us about. But now we're in chapter 3, you see. And chapter 3 flows out of the other chapters. So the gospel is central. When you've got a right relationship with Jesus and with God, it ought to flow into our lives. So we started off by saying our hearts are on things above. Our mind is on things above. Then there are certain things which we must put off. They mustn't be part of your life. We went through wrong attitudes and sexual sin. Put them off, he says. Then we had a look at what we must put on as the Lord's people. Then last Sunday we put in the four umpires. Remember that? Can I ask you that? I think you all fell asleep. The peace must rule. The word must live in you richly. Live a life of thanksgiving. And whatever you do, do it for God. He's told us that. Now, what are we going to have a look at this morning? Now the apostle carries that on into your home. So today we're going to unlock the front door of your home and see how it's going. And you know what, friends? It's important to do that now and again. How are things at home? It's so easy to know the doctrines. It's so easy to say the right words. But then to go home and be another person. So today, we're going to speak about wives. Isn't that lovely? Next week I've asked for a guest preacher to come and to speak on husbands. No, I will be sharing it with you. So today we're going to have a look at the wife, which Paul does. Next week we're going to have a look at the husbands. Then the third week we're going to have a look at the children. So I actually feel perhaps we should ask some of the older Sunday school to come in, because what does the Bible say to children and to parents? And then the fourth Sunday we then move away from the home and he says, now this is how you live at work. And then we'll wrap up, this is how you live in the world. It's fantastic how it all comes together. But this morning, now, my friends, I think it would be true to say that every marriage Every couple that gets married begins with high expectations for their marriage. Would that be a true statement, I think? I had the privilege yesterday of conducting a marriage out in the Richmond area. I hope it was true of those two folks. The bride's grandparents, many years ago, had the joy of bringing them to Christ. And now here's the granddaughter. It's such a joy to do this. Only problem was, guess what? She was 40 minutes late. You know, I lost all my sanctification. Because the rugby was waiting, and I thought, now what on earth am I, 40 minutes. But it was her day. It was wonderful. And we all enjoyed it. Although it was late, we cut down it short. I had a sermon about 2 minutes. So, everybody begins with high expectations. When you got married, if I may suggest that to you, friend, it was high expectations. Everybody knows that many marriages have landed on the rocks. Others are unhappy. But it won't happen to us. That's how every couple, if we have the privilege of marrying, that's how they get off. And so they begin with great expectations. But for many, it's not long before the expectations are replaced with frustration. The marriage, which they were sure was made in heaven, comes crashing down to the earth. The stars, which were in their eyes, become sand. Delight becomes disillusionment. If I may say that to you, that's true for many, many families. So the question we ask is, why does that happen? What has occurred? The dreams have crashed. The problem at root is this, that God, in His incredible grace to us, has provided specific information and direction concerning the purpose of marriage and of the varying and complementary responsibilities of the two people that form that marriage. God has made it clear, my brothers and my sisters. And when two people know what God wants, accept what God wants, and then do what God wants, there's going to be blessing. But when you don't, there is hardship and tears and frustration. So I'm going to share with you humbly, which I hope you'll find helpful. What does God want? Today then, our passage in Colossians chapter 3, and we're just going to have a look at one verse, tells us of God's desire for the wife. Listen again. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Mary and I can never ever thank friends enough. After we had been in Maritzburg, I think I mentioned you for 25 years, the church came to us and said, we'd like to send you anywhere in the world to a conference. So unbelievably gracious. And there was no question for me. I asked if I may humbly be sent to Grace Community Church in Los Angeles and to visit John MacArthur's church. It was the dream model for me, and we had the most amazing time. Sitting there with John MacArthur was a huge privilege. In his commentary, he wrote these words. Because so much of the church has so long disregarded the full teaching of the Bible, many believers now find some of its truths to be unfamiliar and even hard to accept. And because the church has become so engulfed in and identified with and victimized by the standards of the world, God's standards now seem out of date. God's standards now seem to be irrelevant or offensive to modern people. His way is so high and so contrary to the ways of the world that it's incomprehensible to many, even in and out of the church. And few areas of modern living has been so distorted and corrupted by the devil and the world and has caused the church so much confusion as those of family and of the home. Now, when you and I say, as we do here this morning, wives, submit to your husbands, many find that offensive. Many find it out of date. Some years ago, I was asked to do a wedding. Then we had pre-marriage counseling. I thought I'd covered everything. We meet with a couple for a couple of weeks, and we come to the rehearsal. So we're having the rehearsal, and we go through the vows. And I said to the girl there, this is what you're going to vow. You remember? Do you take this man to be your husband and all of that? To love and to cherish and to obey until death. And there was silence. And she says, I can't say that. I said, you must say it. You should want to say it. No, she says, I can't submit. I don't think it's modern day, doesn't believe it. So I said, well, you know, now we've got a problem because then I can't perform the ceremony. Because you've got to say that nicely and properly and from the heart. Anyway, we had a very nice discussion and a wonderful time together until eventually, of course, she did. And they are still married today, which is even better. But you see, she was under the concept, this is crazy. The world, my friends, think you've gone out of your mind. So let me show you then, first of all, what does submission not mean? Then I'm going to show you what does it mean, and then I'm going to close this morning with 15 points. How's that? Oh, I love this, man. It's wonderful. Next week there's only about 3, I think, for the men. All right. Let's have a look then, friends, at what does submission not mean? And I'm going to give you 5 points. Number 1, it does not teach this only to women. We must remember that. This is not a concept only for women. It's a concept for every believer. Remember, it says that in Ephesians 5 and verse 21, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. Number 2, it does not mean that the wife now gives up all her potential and all her gifts and all her talents and becomes literally a servant. Doesn't teach that. In actual fact, friends, from God's word, it does just the opposite. Wayne Mack, who's an outstanding counselor and has written a book on how to strengthen your marriage, said these words, actually, the wife is never more free than when she is in submission to her husband, because then she is free to become all that God intended her to become. It brings her freedom and it brings her the most wonderful protection. A woman's vulnerability, says Larry Christensen, if you go and get that book out the library, there are a couple of copies. A woman's vulnerability, however, does not stop at the physical level. It includes a vulnerability at the emotional, psychological, sexual, and spiritual level. And we'll see next week with the men. The task of the man is to love his wife as Jesus loved the church. And then the wife, out of sheer love, submits to his leadership and his love. So it's not just a concept for our ladies. It's not in any way restriction. Number 3, it does not mean that she never ever is able to give advice or to share an opinion with her husband. That is true in some cultures, but certainly not in ours. Number 4, it does not mean that the wife allows all her abilities to lie dormant. No, friends, we're not saying that either. We're just getting rid of the negative. Rather biblically, here's a picture of a wonderfully liberated woman. She is never suppressed. She leads a full, meaningful, and a productive life because her husband knows how to bring all her abilities and all her talents out to the fore. We're going to see that. I'm going to keep on going back to that. The key is the man. The heart of a marriage is not the woman. The heart of a marriage is the man. He's the heart. He loves his wife. He devotes his life to his wife and brings out all those amazing gifts and talents that she has. And number five, just to get rid of the negative, it doesn't mean that in any way she is inferior. Some cultures today, girls can't go to school. There's some of the most horrendous things happening around the world in this teaching. We don't believe that. We don't believe that she in any way is inferior. We are absolutely equal before Jesus. That's the negative. What does it mean? Number two. I want to give you six things just to help you, and I hope it clarifies. Remember what God says, wives, submit to your husbands. The first thing you notice, dear friends, is that it's her responsibility to submit herself. It must never be forced on her. She must do it because she wants to. She must do it because she loves to. She must do it because she knows that's what Jesus wants. And number two, it is not optional. The verb, if I may share that with you, is in the imperative mood, which means that submission is not based upon the way her husband treats her. It's not conditioned upon the abilities of her husband or the talents or wisdom or education or spiritual state. It's not dependent on that. And sadly, there are many who say that. I'm not going to submit to him because he's not a Christian. Well, I'm not going to submit to him because this is what he does. Bible doesn't say that. Doesn't say wives submit to your husbands if they do this. It's not optional. He may have boldness, bifocals, and bulges. Doesn't matter. You see, it's not optional. Number three, it's to be continuous. It's a lifestyle. And number four, it's a spiritual matter. That's why it says there, as is fitting in the Lord. So if perhaps we know of a Christian lady who refuses to submit to her husband, she's going against what God says. Submission to the husband is the test of her love for God. It's a test of her love for her husband. She must look upon her submission to her husband as an act of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And number five, it's positive. It's not a negative thing. The emphasis is on a positive. And here we get into the heart of it, isn't it? That she has a wife. She puts all her talents and all her abilities and all her resources and all her energy at the disposal of her husband and her children. Submission means that she uses everything that she has under the management of her husband for the good of the family. She sees that she is part of her husband's team. She is not her husband's opponent. They are not fighting at cross purposes or trying to outdo one another. Yes, she has ideas, opinions, desires, requests, and insights, but she lovingly makes them known. Always say, I want to submit to my husband. He's the leader. He's been placed there by God. And it's not optional. Number six, it involves the attitude. It's to be done in a cheerful and a never, ever grudging way. And so, dear wives, if I may say that to you this morning, the world out there is saying one thing. And here you come this morning and you're a preacher saying another. The world says you are out-fashioned. You're old. Those are irrelevant. You and I are saying no. And you know what? It was quite sad. Actually, it was very sad. My one son is a border master in a very, very, very posh school in England. Him and Jane have got a key responsibility. They are now looking after 30 children. They never see their parents for the term. They've been sent from Saudi Arabia, most of them, Asia and all of that. And they are all multi-millionaires. And when we were there, Murray said to Mary and I, said, you know, Dad, just have a look at this. And gave us a list of the young boys that Murray's now responsible for. Do you know what, friends? Not one came out of a normal home. Not one. Oh, it was terrible. This one's mother's a prostitute. This one's father's an alcoholic. This one is divorced. That one is living with his girlfriend. This one is shacking up with her boyfriend. This one's on drugs. Money! It is, when you look around the school, you just walk on bounds. It's unbelievably wealthy. But family life, there's nothing. Not one came out of a home where mom and dad are together. Not one. When I can go home and put my arms around dad and mom. I found that very sad. So the world says this doesn't work. The world says this is crazy. The world says, no, I'm saying to you, don't listen to the world. I'm saying to you, dear ladies, the Lord Jesus says the greatest thing you could do is to love your husband. It's the greatest thing you could do for your kids. Pour your life into your husband. Now, don't worry, husbands, you next week, but we're just waiting for that. But you see what we're saying? That's where it all is. So your children, they're going to look at you. Say, you know, Mom, she loved Dad. She supported Dad. You know, my mother, she was devoted to Dad. It may mean that you're not going to have enough money at the end of the month because you may need to stop working and spend time at home with the children. That's okay. That's okay. That's fine. That's in fact wonderful. Because it's showing your kids, where's the responsibility? My husband and my children. My mom and dad were not Christians when we grew up, but the most fantastic parents. I've told you that more than enough. I never once ever went home, ever, and my mother wasn't there. You don't know how wonderful that was. Never once went onto a tennis court and my mom or my dad wasn't there. And they loved each other. Eh? What a fantastic example. We didn't have as nice things as a lot of other of my friends had, but that was okay. Not all of them had the most loving home that I had. Wives, love your husbands. Submit to them. Support them. Be the most loving wife. That book on the Christian family writes these words. He says the average woman, if she gives her full time to her home, to her husband, to her children, if she tries to understand her husband's work, curb his egotism, but at the same time building up self-esteem, trying to kill his masculine conceit, but encouraging all his hopes, trying to establish around the family a circle of friends, and providing in the home a proper atmosphere of culture, a love of music, of beautiful furniture and a garden. If she can do all of this, she will be engaged in a life's work that will demand every talent God has given her, the utmost sacrifice of her love. It will demand everything that she has and everything more. He was a monk. Originally had no thought for marriage. And as a monk in a little cloister, he was converted. Martin Luther had the most wonderful conversion. And one thing led to another. I don't want to bore you, but he got married. He married a lady by the name of Catherine from Bora. And if you read the books on this, they will tell us that they had a marriage that set the tone for the next 300 years. And Luther wrote these words, next to God's word, there is nothing more precious than holy matrimony. God's highest gift on earth is a pious, cheerful, God-fearing, homekeeping wife with whom you can live all your life, to whom you may entrust your goods and your body and your life. You know, Luther, when he was the professor of the university, he was the minister of the church, he was the local bishop, he was running himself ragged almost to death. He was so tired at night that Martin Luther used to get into bed without pajamas, just get into bed with his clothes. He was totally, completely and utterly exhausted. And then Catherine took over and just beat him back into shape. It was beautiful to see. It was the same with C.S. Lewis and that film Shadowlands. If you want to see a beautiful film, go and take that out today, that DVD, on C.S. Lewis and Joy Davidson. A beautiful home when she came into C.S. Lewis's life. So the Bible then is saying to the ladies, if I may say that to you, friends, wives, submit to your husbands. Now just lastly, I'm going to give you, and it'll go quickly, 15 practical suggestions. They come from a lovely book called Strengthening Your Marriage by Wayne Mack. And this is what he suggests. So let's come then. What does it mean? And I'm going to give you the 15. Here they are. Number one. First thing. Make your home a safe place. For I leave nothing with you, my dear ladies. Make it a goal. Make your home a place of great encouragement and joy. Bit of a Lani story, but we're at the bottom of the line. But we were invited to a sup with Dr. James Dobson and Peter Pollock and his wife. And we were sitting at the table, and Peter Pollock, we all know Peter Pollock, that great cricketer, he was telling us, he says, you know, I never wanted to go home. So he'd work hard all day and then go to the club and have too many beers and then get home late at night, every night. Work, club, home. And when he got home, Eunice used to do-do-do-do-do-do. Chirp him all the time, run him down and so on. And the more she did that, the more it drove him back to the club. He never wanted to go home. And then what happened one day? He comes home after having too many Charles Glass. Doris, nice to have you back. And she says, hello, my darling. It's wonderful to have you home. Do you know Peter Paul had phoned 911? He didn't know what to say. And he said, what's happened here? What had happened? His wife had become a Christian. And Peter Pollock was so stunned that if you chat to him and read his books, that was one of the biggest turning points in his conversion. And she tried to make home the most wonderful place in the world. That's what I want you to do. I want you to make your home a place so your husband doesn't want to go to the club. Yet she doesn't want to do anything. He wants to get home. Because I love being at home. I love my home. And my wife makes home the most wonderful place in the world. Two, by being trustworthy and dependable. By maintaining a good attitude, always about the home. Four, by discussing things in a very loving, open and honest way. Oh, we don't agree on lots. But that's fantastic. When you discuss them lovingly. You know, in our little home, that's an issue. Mary and I go out for supper every Friday night. That's been like that for years. So we were having supper with some friends on Friday night. They had the most wonderful time. But we got there early. She wanted to go to M'lady. So I said, no, I think that's brilliant. I'll meet you at Exclusive Books. So you can buy whatever you want. I don't mind. If you're happy, I'm happy. So she comes to Exclusive Books and she's bought a whole lot of stuff. So that's fantastic. Now she says, what about you? I said, I want to buy a book. Hey, so it's just come out. It's just come out. Dave Divinall will love it. But it's quite expensive. Nah, it's too much money. I said, what? That's ridiculous. This is such a brilliant, wonderful book. But you see, we could discuss it. That's the what. At the end of the day, she won. So, we discuss things lovingly, openly, and honestly. What a lovely way to do it. You see, number five, she is satisfied with her position, her possessions, and her tasks. She's happy. You're living a hut. If there's joy in the home. Fancy houses don't bring us happiness. Driving fast cars don't bring us joy. Having fantastic salaries, that's not the big issue in life. Money doesn't do those things. To have a husband and a wife who love one another with a wife's great joy. To focus on her husband and her family. It's a precious thing. Seven, she shows interest in his problems and concerns at work. Eight, she's an industrious and a diligent, creative member of the team. Always saying how we can always make home better. Number nine, always offering suggestions and advice and corrections when needed in a loving fashion. 10, she makes herself beautiful, but especially in the inner person. You see, the world says it differently. Hey, friends, the world says, if you got this personality, you got to wear this color. You know, I don't know what that's all about, but colors is the difference. And this is what you got to wear, and that's what you got to wear, and focus always on the external. Bible says no. Bible says your beauty must not come from outward adornment, like braided hair or gold jewelry, fine clothes. Instead, it comes from your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. That's where she focuses. I need to put in a caution, hey friends. Tim LaHaye, in his book on the Christian family, says, but remember, this is no excuse for her to look like the leftover from a jumble sale. But we don't want that. She keeps herself beautiful inside. Number 11, she maintains a very deep spiritual life. Oh, my ladies, do that. Spend time every day in the Bible. Love to pray. When your kids can't find you, what a great thing when they find mom reading the Bible. Your husband's looking for you. You're in the Word. 12, cooperate. We're going to see that in 2 Sundays' time in raising the children. And 13, always build up loyalty to him in your children. Always. Never run him down. Always build up loyalty in the children. 14, be grateful. And lastly, show confidence in his decisions. You know all of these things. Perhaps if you've let these slip, may I very humbly say to you today, let's put it right. Let's put it right. Just for our brothers here this morning. Brothers, remember one thing. For every man here today, and me more than anybody. Men, remember this. A wife is a responder. You say, but my wife doesn't love me anymore, or she doesn't show me affection. It's your fault. The heart of a home is dad. Dad's the heart. He loves his wife. He pours his life into his wife and then onto the children. And she responds by being a submissive, loving home keeper. Wives, submit to your husbands. The wedding yesterday, she comes not only late, she came in tears, and I said, no, don't worry. Just remember, walk down the aisle, meet me at the altar, and we'll sing a hymn. She says, oh, I can't remember all of that. So I said, no, don't worry. All you remember is 3 words. Aisle, altar, hymn. I want to tell you, many ladies want to do that. I'm saying to you, no, there's a better way. Love him. Submit to him. And make your home the most fantastic place. Amen? Next week, guys, you better be here. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the tremendous advice that comes through the Bible. And as we go through these familiar passages, these couple of Sundays, just so long to see them in evidence in our families. Please help each one here today to have a very happy and blessed home for Jesus' sake. Amen.